Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks again for joining us for our online services. We really do appreciate you joining us and tuning in this way. We know that this is a difficult time for all of us, and I have certainly experienced the ups and downs of this isolation and the feeling that it's just going on and on. We need to encourage one another, support one another. I certainly encourage you to join our online prayer times or Bible study during the week. I have found them such a source of encouragement, and I hope that if you are able, you will join us. Today we are continuing in our series of best loved or favorite verses or passages of the Bible. I had suggested to my associate Tyler that we call this, "These are a few of my favorite verses," but he said that that was far too cheesy, so I had to share it anyway. I mean, who doesn't love the sound of music? Anyway, we hope this series is an encouragement and helpful to you. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 23, certainly the most familiar psalm and one of the best known passages of all of Scripture. And I would encourage you to turn there now in your Bible and get ready, as we're going to look at that in just a few moments. Now, one of the things you find when you read the Bible is that it's not so much a series of intellectual articles about the existence of God, such as you might find in a university lecture or a philosophy class, as it really is a collection of personal stories and writings regarding people's encounters with God, both as individuals and as a community with others. In fact, some have described the Bible as a whole as God's love story with humanity. What we learn about God in the pages of Scriptures comes primarily out of what people have discovered about God as they have encountered Him and journeyed with Him. There are certainly some very instructional sections of the Scripture, but much of the Bible is recorded testimony of people to whom God has revealed Himself, and these individuals have been inspired by the Spirit of God to share their journeys, and they or others have written down these faith stories as reliable witnesses. And all of these are written to inspire us, to encourage us, to guide us, sometimes challenge us in our own discovery and walk with God. When our spiritual journeys align with those we read about in the Scriptures, then we know that we're on the right track. When they don't, it's an opportunity for us to reflect on why. Psalm 23 is penned by David, who is one of the central figures of the Old Testament. He's introduced to us as a shepherd boy and a musician, but then as one whom God has chosen to lead His people as King of Israel. King David becomes a mighty warrior and an effective, wise king, arguably the best king Israel ever had. The most beautiful thing that is ever said about David is that he was a man after God's own heart, Acts 13:22. While David was far from a perfect man, and he's also known for glaring and startling sin, certainly an encouragement to all of us who mess up badly, it is his consistent heart after God that stands out in the pages of Scripture. A great number of the Psalms are described as written by David, which reveal David's heart after God and the richness of his spiritual journey. And Psalm 23 stands out as one of great beauty, and inspiration. Some suggest that Psalm 23 was written early in David's life, but I am drawn towards the suggestion by others that the richness of this psalm reveals the testimony of one who has gone through a lot in life. It's a seasoned testimony of his experience as he looks back over his life. In fact, some suggest that Psalm 23 was written not when things were going well, but in one of those difficult times, and as such is an expression of faith in God's goodness, though right now life is difficult and hard. Real faith, you see, does not praise God merely in good times, but in all seasons of life. Our God is not a fair weather God, and he often reveals himself more clearly in the difficult seasons of life if we turn towards him. There is maybe no better psalm to turn to right now as we are navigating this difficult time in our world. Psalm 23 is only 6 verses long, but it is jam-packed with images, more than we can fully reflect on today. And really, I'm just touching on some more than others. For many of you, I know that this will likely be a reminder as we consider this familiar testimony of David, who's experienced God's tender love and provision. The dominant image of this psalm that we are introduced to in the opening words is that the Lord, or Yahweh, that personal name revealed by God, is his shepherd. David, of course, knew from experience what was required of a shepherd: faithfulness, patience, provision, strength, compassion, gentleness, courage, sacrifice, to name a few. Now, the thing is with sheep is that they are incredibly needy, not all that smart. I don't know about you, but I kind of identify with that more sometimes than I want to admit. But incredibly, the shepherd is loyal to his sheep. The amazing thing that David discovered is that God is not put off by our neediness or even our foolishness. As long as we are humble, the shepherd can work with us. Psalm 23 begins with a beautiful picture of the way the shepherd has provided for David, by extension, all of those who put their trust in and follow the shepherd. He writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes or restores my soul." I'm not sure what scene that might inspire in your imagination, but it is a scene of beauty, of tranquility, that is the occasion of rest, of provision, of restoration. It's like a picture of an oasis. This is so important for us to grasp. You see, some make God out or believe him to be a hard taskmaster, more like Pharaoh who wants bricks without straw, or maybe a divine policeman, rather than a loving shepherd who guides us to soul-satisfying supply and who refreshes and restores and resources us. You see, one of the themes from Genesis to Revelation is that God, as the creator of all good things, wants us to enjoy them. And when we enjoy them, it is honoring to the creator. You see, God is not a killjoy. Not only that, God from the beginning instituted rest as a part of the rhythm of life. The importance throughout the Old Testament of keeping Sabbath requires the need for rest, the need for restoration. And then, of course, the promise of ultimate rest in God's eternity is a powerful truth to celebrate. God is a provider. He is good. A true follower of David's God, the true God, will come to experience him as a shepherd who will lead us not into exhaustion, but out of it. He is a God of provision. Trusting this shepherd is at times an invitation to be still, to stop, to rest. You see, our relationship with the shepherd does not depend on our performance, but on God's provision. The Lord as shepherd first calls us to himself, not to a list of demands and duties. Some of us, quite frankly, find this harder to believe than others. But I think it's often the difference between a life of religious performance or even rejection of God as too hard to please and true faith, a vibrant faith, and the grace of God and the graciousness of God who invites us into his loving provision. Is this the God that you know? Right now in our world, most people have been forced to stop their normal routines. And for many of us, we're finding this very difficult. We like to be busy. We like to be accomplishing. And of course, we worry about the future and the economy and employment and all manner of things. Some of us, quite frankly, are exhausted from worry. Maybe from watching too much news. We need to personalize this psalm. We need to put our faith in the shepherd who will meet our needs, who will provide for us one day at a time as we look to him. The psalm continues. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. A central feature of the relationship between shepherd and sheep is that the sheep follow the shepherd. At least that's what they're supposed to do, and that's what good sheep do. You see, it's about trust. The problem comes to all of us, human sheep, that from time to time, the right path chosen by the shepherd may not appear to our human eyes to be such a good path. We say, why can't I go down that easier path? Why can't we take a shortcut? Like kids in the back of a vehicle, aren't we there yet? How much longer? Human sheep struggle with trust, don't we? David's testimony, though, is that when we follow the shepherd, it's the right path. When David went his own way, not so much. God's ways are not always the easiest way. They're not the path of least resistance, but they are good. Do you believe that? Trust that? Even now? He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. We need to catch that last part, for his name's sake. I think one of the hardest things to face in life is that it's not all about me. I'm not the center of it all. God loves me, for I am his beloved creation, but my life is designed by God for a purpose, and that purpose is fulfilled in following him and bringing honor and glory to his name. David was designed to be king of Israel. What a huge calling. It is not likely that any of us will be called to that level of responsibility. But know this, God does have a purpose for each of our lives, for each of our days. And that too is joy, to discover and follow God's purposes for our lives. How do we discover that? Well, really one day at a time, listening to the shepherd, following him, trusting his voice. You see, the beauty is this. When God is glorified through our lives, when we seek his honor, our lives are not diminished, but actually raised up also. A surrendered life to the shepherd, to the purposes of God, is not in the end less, but more. But it requires faith to trust. For sometimes those paths will be very uncertain. Which leads us to verse 4. David writes, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The older English King James translation expresses darkest valley more poetically as the valley of the shadow of death. You see, sooner or later, we are going to find ourselves in a place that is not a welcoming place, that is not a happy place, that is not a place of good times, but a place of sadness, of sorrow, of tears, of pain, loss, even soul agony. They say the darkest valley can be physical, but it can also be emotional or spiritual. And David knew these times also. Life was not just green pastures and quiet streams. David knew both. And his faith in the shepherd was not diminished by the fact that sometimes we find ourselves not in the light, but in the dark. Yet here is the place where faith is given the opportunity to grow the most. For David, his testimony is clear, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." What a testimony. See, in the dark, in those dark valleys, what we need to know is that we are not alone. When we can't see the way, we must put our hand in the hand of the one who does, the one who has promised to never let us go. David also expresses the shepherd's presence this way: "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The shepherd had two basic resources. The rod is basically a small club that he would have hung on his belt and a strap around his waist. The club was used to defend against a wild attacker. The staff was the shepherd's walking stick, often with a curve at the end like the familiar candy cane, which would of course be used to guide the sheep and even to rescue a small lamb if it got caught in a brambling bush. David says that knowing of the shepherd's resources, trusting in his strong and faithful and loving provision, comforts him, secures him, assures him. The shepherd, you see, knows how and when to use those resources. The Lord will protect and guide and rescue, for he is able. Nothing can separate us from the love of this good God. Our responsibility again is to trust in his goodness. Verse 5 now changes the imagery of this great psalm. Sheep are no longer envisioned, but rather, now David envisions an invitation maybe to the shepherd's tent, or maybe the king's tent. This is maybe the shepherd king. He writes, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Now we are no longer in the valley. Now is time for celebration. The long night is over and victory has come. We are no longer in the valley. It is time for celebration. We are to envision a rich feast at a table that has been laid out for us. The anointing of the head with oil is a sign of generous blessing upon the guest and overflowing wine. I hope you get this picture. You see, there will be battles to be fought and at times even evil people to be overcome. We will have to go through dark times, but when the day of victory, of justice, of freedom comes, it's a day to celebrate and give thanks. And David the warrior envisions the Lord as master of the feast, the true king, the victor. Reflect for a moment. Is it not true that whenever we eat at the table of the Lord or communion, we are symbolically sitting at the Lord's table, at his feast, where the victory has been won? And at that table, we are anticipating the final day of victory over all destruction and evil. And the Lord's table is a generous table, and his cup of forgiveness overflows to all who will come and sit at his feet. The Lord wants to, longs to pour out his blessing of grace upon our lives, for victory awaits. Be certain of it. Anticipate it. Verse 6 is a final benediction. Surely your goodness and love will follow me, maybe better, pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's experience of the living God, his shepherd, was a love that would not let him go. And this is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. What Scripture so clearly reveals in the person of Jesus, the eternal shepherd made flesh, the good shepherd, is that God pursues us, follows after us. He came after us, his wayward sheep. We may wander, but the shepherd does not give up on us, for he longs for us to know him and be in his presence forever. Amazingly, as Jesus reveals, the good shepherd even lays down his life for the sheep. In an amazing imagery reversal, the shepherd becomes the sacrificial lamb to rescue the flock. There is nothing our good shepherd will not do to get us safely home. But he does require our trust, for it is a relationship with him. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know him as the shepherd of your life, who will one day take you to be with him forever? I want to close with a story that I heard many years ago. There was once a Shakespearean actor who was known for his one-man show of readings and recitations from the classics. And he would always end his performance with a dramatic reading of Psalm 23. Each night, without exception, the actor would begin his recitation, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then at the conclusion of the psalm, the audience would rise in thunderous applause in appreciation of the actor's incredible ability to bring this great psalm to life. But one night, just before the actor was to offer his customary recital of Psalm 23, an elderly man from the audience spoke up and said, "Sir, do you mind if tonight I recite Psalm 23? The actor was quite taken back by this unusual request, but he allowed the elderly man to come forward and to recite the psalm, certain that the ability of this frail man would be no match for his own. And with a weakened and somewhat crackly voice, the elderly man began to recite the words of this great song. And when he was finished, there was no applause. There was no standing ovation as on other nights. All that could be heard was the sound of sniffling and quiet weeping. Amazed by what he heard, the actor said to the man, I don't understand. I've been performing Psalm 23 for years. I have a lifetime of experience and training, but I've never been able to move an audience like you did tonight. Tell me, what is the secret?" To which the man humbly responded, "You know Psalm 23, but I know the shepherd." It's my hope today that we haven't just learned a little bit more about Psalm 23, but that we've been encouraged together to know and trust in the shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus, the one who has provided for us and will provide for us all we need, who will guide us, who will lead us, who has prepared a table before us, and in his house we will dwell forever. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, I thank you for the incredible words of this psalm. And I pray that maybe just one thought or image will have touched our hearts and our minds, and that we might reflect on it further. Most of all, that we will put our complete trust in your goodness. And that we can say, as David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I know the shepherd, and he knows me. He has called me by name, and I am his." And Father, if there is anyone listening today and hearing this message and hearing this great psalm who does not know deep in their heart that you are their shepherd, may they turn to you now and invite you into their lives to refresh them, to restore them, to lead them and guide them, to be their God. Father, thank you for your great love shown ultimately in Jesus Christ. To him we give all praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? we're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.